Hello, Mr. Amos. After meeting you and learning about your story, I thought others might want to meet you and hear the story as well. First, I would like to ask you, what is the purpose of this website?
Well, first, thank you for doing this. The website was established to provide information and insight that will lead to both moral and criminal investigation. In my opinion, the deceitful, fraudulent, and illegal actions taken over a long and horrible period of time led to the confiscation and destruction of our family's farm, home and business, heirlooms, and personal belongings.
According to your website, you purchased a farm in Ashland County, Ohio in mid-1970s, and shortly thereafter, while attempting preparations to start farming, you realized that there was an area of your farm that you would have to develop differently, and then went into a peat and topsoil business.
We realized after digging a ditch for drainage for vegetable farming that we were in a mineral deposit of peat, and we changed our priorities.
And so you gave up the farming idea and started a soil and peat business?
Yes. After a contractor we had hired to drain some of the land informed us that in accordance with his prior knowledge, we might not be able to monetarily run a successful farm in this type of geographical area. We began research at this point to determine what to do with this area of our farm that contained the mineral peat.
Then apparently you did go into a soil business at some point.
Yes, we had our peat product evaluated at a Richland County Soil and Water by Larry Alt, who wrote us a letter stating that it was peat and recommended that we have specific testing done at Ohio Agriculture Research and Development in Worcester, Ohio, so as to confirm the specific analysis of the material.
How long were you in business, and how or why did Ohio Farm Bureau get involved?
We had been in business 13 and a half years and added machinery, started a soil bagging operation which employed about 7 people when we were shut down by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the fall of 1992 on a false report of placing fill in a wetland. We fought a personal, political, and legal battle on our own for about 4 years, establishing a 100-letter paper trail and legal fees with a debt totaling thousands. In 1995 or early 1996, an Ohio Farm Bureau member working a membership drive came to ask for a membership and stated to me that he was looking for a potential property rights violation such as mine in order to strengthen Ohio property rights laws. I joined the Ohio Farm Bureau as a member, and OFB later indicated a desire to help me with my property rights issues involving regulatory taking and also to set a precedent in Ohio to strengthen state of Ohio property rights laws.
Why were agreements needed for a private property rights legal battle when both sides would potentially benefit?
Well, the agreement contained loan and mortgage statements and Ohio Farm Bureau self-imposed monetary limits. The Ohio Farm Bureau stated that their board of trustees wanted to be sure that if we won the case, they would get refunded for the monetary investment in the case, and that my wife and I would not settle the case without their approval because of their objectives.
How was your case finally resolved?
My individual case was never resolved. No paperwork was ever filed in any court of law on my behalf for a private property takings or partial takings, monetary loss, or any other injustice that I had suffered through.
What happened with your takings case in the courts?
No one from the law firm or any place else ever filed any action in any court of law on behalf of my takings issues. I never received any kind of compensation for my losses.
How did Ohio Farm Bureau involvement in your property right issues, in which they also had a desired purpose, allow them to eventually take your home, farm, and business?
Well, after much research by a law firm of Bricker & Eckler in Columbus, my environmental attorney, Frank Merrill, Bricker & Eckler and Ohio Farm Bureau decided that it would take a very considerable amount of expenditure to pursue my takings case, possibly even to the U.S. Supreme Court. They also decided that it would be a benefit for our case for the business to be up and running. Ohio Farm Bureau told my wife and I their state board of trustees would require a loan and mortgage agreement so that if we won my takings case, that OFB could recover their cash outlay for expenses. Lawyer's fees were supposed to be on a contingency basis.
What happened or what reason did Ohio Farm Bureau and the law firm decide not to take action or pursue the case?
A case that had been filed in federal district court in Washington, D.C. in 1993 by the American Mining Congress against the Army Corps of Engineers challenged their incidental fallback rules, which had been used to shut down my business and involved many of the same issues as ours, went through the D.C. court in January of 1997. This was just 3 months after my wife and I signed a loan and mortgage agreement with the Ohio Farm Bureau. American Mining Congress prevailed in this court challenge with the court ruling that the Corps of Engineers rules were unjust, unlawful, and manifestly unreasonable. Corps of Engineers never received congressional approval for the rules that they had used.
Why did this particular case affect your situation?
This court's ruling invalidated the rules that had been used to shut down my business. Now the law firm felt that I still had what they called a colorful case, but no longer desired to pursue it on a contingency basis. The Ohio Farm Bureau decided that the court's action had established the precedence, and they no longer wanted to pay expenses in my case for my losses, which my wife and I signed loan and mortgage agreements with them in the beginning.
This sounds like a period of great letdown and anxiety for you and your family. What went on in the meantime before Ohio Farm Bureau started court action against you?
Ohio Farm Bureau had paid Brickler and Eckler a retainer for my representation after my wife and I signed the loan and mortgage agreements in 96. The final rulings on the motions and appeals in the American Mining versus Army Corps case didn't come down until June of 1998. The Ohio Farm Bureau didn't know for some time after this if the Corps of Engineers would ask for the case to be heard by a higher court. The Corps ended up not doing that. I corresponded by phone, letters, and in person with Ohio Farm Bureau and law firm about my case. Bricker and Eckler were sending copies of takings case research. Ohio Farm Bureau sent representatives to check on the business and inspect and record our business records. I spoke in person to Ohio Farm Bureau State Board of Trustees about my takings case and informed them that while the American Mining case may have been settled, nothing had been done by anyone to resolve my issues. Meanwhile, I was now serving the Ashland County chapter of Ohio Farm Bureau as township trustee and county government affairs chair. I was in Columbus quite often for meetings.
When did first court action actually start?
Ohio Farm Bureau had informed my wife and I in late 2001 and for sure in 2002 that they were not going any further with the pursuit of my colorful and potential takings case, and that they intended to accelerate certain conditions of the loan and mortgage agreement to recover from Amos's any funding that they had expended for their benefit or ours. They also informed my wife and I that we would need to find a new place to live. They intended to foreclose and sell our home, which at that time we had owned and resided in for 28 years. Ohio Farm Bureau hired an attorney from the world's largest law firm and filed foreclosure action against us in the late summer of 2002. This was approximately 4.5 years before the contracts expired.
Your case apparently didn't end there. It's a long time from late summer 2002 to early summer of 2007.
No, it didn't. Through a reputable attorney, we filed an answer and counterclaim and was supposed to have a pretrial hearing in early 2003. Ohio Farm Bureau took our depositions, but we couldn't afford to have OFB deposed. So we had to go to pretrial without what lawyers and courts call a written witness. Instead of pretrial hearing, Ashland County Court Judge Runyon awarded OFB a summary judgment, and a sheriff's sale was scheduled for our property. By some legal maneuvering and a mistake by the courts, the first foreclosure ruling was dismissed. Ohio Farm Bureau refiled the same foreclosure complaint again in late summer of 2003.
Well, let's see. Ohio Farm Bureau then paid attorney fees to world's largest law firm and spent the next 3.5 years to take your property. Were there court actions ongoing all this time?
The attorney that represented my wife and I during this case filed numerous motions, all on our behalf, that were all grounded in state statute or case law. Several of these actions were taken to the appeals court, and some even to the Ohio Supreme Court.
So, in summary then, what do you consider was the first illegal event that resulted in serious consequences?
Well, without a doubt, it was the court-ruled unlawful and unreasonable regulatory shutdown of my business in 1992 that lasted more than 4 years. This caused a loss of business stature and extreme financial difficulties, both business and personal.
What would you consider was the next stone on the path of possible deceit or fraud?
The deceptive and fraudulent enlargement of mortgage debt on our property and business by Ohio Farm Bureau for the stated and legally agreed purpose of fighting property rights, which never happened. The business went down for another 3 years for a total of 7, with no monetary compensation in sight for Amos's.
What attitude by Ohio Farm Bureau gave you the impression that things were not going by original legal contracts and stated purposes?
There was a complete reversal of Ohio Farm Bureau's stated purpose. Investigation of facts and court documents will show that fraud and untrue statements were made from beginning, which resulted in what appears to be a dog determination to remove us from our property and destroy all equipment that had been used in the peat business.
What do you feel were at least some of the negative or illegal factors contributing to the loss of everything you had and owned by court rulings?
My wife and I were denied our day in court that every American's entitled to. By this time, we were an elderly, retired, and financially distressed couple that could not fight the size or monetary power of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Because of finances, we were unable to depose Ohio Farm Bureau due to their very unscrupulous attorney from the world's largest law firm, Jones Day, to twist and spin every fact in our case in favor of the Ohio Farm Bureau in the eyes of the local appeals court and Supreme Court judges in Ohio.
Well, I think it would be reasonable at this point to think you are still hopeful of another outcome of your case.
Yes, I am. A great miscarriage of justice has been accomplished here. I hope that God will intervene in His mercy and love and will provide a way for all the inequities of this case to be exposed for the benefit of all citizens of the United States of America, including, of course, our own families.